You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. Starting off my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well, you know. Summertime is about to be here.
Okay.
And, you know, things are looking nice for the summertime.
Yeah, sound like you're going to be on them streets.
Okay. I mean, you know, if there's a paycheck waiting, I'll be there.
I heard that. Yeah.
Can't get me out. You just can't get me out of the house for free. I just can't do it.
I ain't mad at you, brother. My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
Doing all right. Thank you.
Good?
Yeah, man. I'm doing all right.
Doing cool.
Doing great. Thank you.
Okay.
Feeling good. Feeling great.
How are you?
Oh, man, DJ J. Dib. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good your way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to read a comment from Spotify's head of urban music, Carl Cherry.
He probably works for Billboard.
Perhaps.
It's probably his dad or his uncle.
See what you guys think about this comment. Does hip hop needs new leaders who are intentional about dictating where the music and culture are going? He said it feels like artists either don't think about it or don't want the responsibility. We need it, though. Who's going to step up? Trippy Red came in and vouched. Great person to vouch. He said he's right. We're going to bounce back, though. We let country and Spanish music take over because we too divided.
That's not why it took over.
That's why I was like.
This kind of goes back to our conversation last week. Because we have Trippie Red talking. He's the one carrying the flag for this conversation right now.
Yeah.
Responding to Carl Cherry.
Yeah. He's the one that responded.
You don't make good music, sir.
Well, he ain't lying there.
I'm just saying. And just because I don't think he makes good music doesn't mean that I'm old and out of touch. It just means that he doesn't make good music, in my opinion.
Thank you for
saying
that.
That's just how I feel.
Yeah.
There's people that are the same age as him.
That make good music.
He doesn't, in my personal opinion.
And let's just get this out there. If you think he makes good music, you have trash taste.
Mr. Carl Cherry works for a place that curates playlists, right? That's what you said?
Yeah.
So Spotify. He's in a position to where you guys are responsible for what's being fed to the people as well. So if that's your job, if that's what you're doing, you need to listen to our podcast, maybe, and take some of our thought processes and our taste of music and include it with your taste to balance it out, and you'll have a better overall playlist.
What you think about that comment, Jay Moore? Let me read it again.
I don't need to hear any quotes from Trippie Red again. No, I mean, the thing is, when you talk, because he brought up Spanish and country music.
I didn't know
music from Spain was so hot.
You can go back to old boy from Spotify. We can leave Trippie Red part alone. Just what the guy from Spotify said on its
not face for sure.
value. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to hear about. I knew Trippie Red.
Hip-hop needs leaders.
What did he say again about leading people, not having leaders?
Just having intent. He said hip-hop needs new leaders who are intentional about dictating where the music and culture are going.
He needs to be intentional about these playlists that he's putting together.
And that's the double truth.
It feels like artists either don't think about it or don't want the responsibility. Who's going to step up? That's the comment.
Well, also, you know, when I saw the story about how there have been no hip-hop albums or songs to reach number one, we're only halfway through the year. Let's calm down. If you told me we got through 12 months and there was no number ones, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is something we need to talk about and be concerned with. But we're barely 6 months into the year. I mean, I know that's still a long stretch, but, you know, it's not.
That is a big sample size.
But it's not like hip hop is gone. Well, like, you still can look at the top five or top 20 and it's still dominated by hip hop. But then there's also weird things that happen within the new way that we count plays.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw Sure Thing by Miguel is back in the top 20 because there's like a slow.
Yeah, you said that last time.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? How? So that's taking up a spot from somebody who's got new music out.
What you think, Long? Go ahead.
Who cares if hip hop drops out? If hip hop drops out, this is the way I look at it. If hip hop drops out of favor, it's because the music sucks and the music needs to get better.
I can say it from that end, but also I can say, like, It's almost like when I last year there was a song, it was the Nicki Minaj song that sampled the Rick James record, and that song found itself. It wound up being at number one. You know, what I'm saying, it did well on pop radio. You know, there was the streaming thing was behind it, and that's great. You know, what I'm saying, Nicki, it was about time. Nicki was, you know, it was about time for her to hit that number one spot. But nobody ever asked for that song. It did move culture. I'm sorry, it did. Maybe it moved in certain in the pop clubs, maybe in the gay clubs. But you know, I'm in the places where hip hop is running things. First of all, Billboard. Why do we even care?
This is Spotify.
Or Spotify or anything that's on these lists that are, you know, that can be manipulated and curated by people who are not of the culture. Like, you know how many people have never had a number one album or a number one song or a grant? We talk about this all the time, you know, and then we can't, and then we put so much into what these people think and their numbers and their algorithm, and it doesn't mean anything to what actually happens when people are outside.
I like Terry, you correct me if I'm misquoting you, but I like you talking more about the guy that's saying this, his accountability or his lack thereof. He's in a position, right? He's
in a position to correct or right the wrongs.
Right.
That he's seen. The whole tweet that he sent out, he should take into his boardroom or whoever he meets with and comes up with these playlists and say, we need to be accountable and intentional about these playlists that we're putting together. Because I feel like we're missing something here.
If he really cares.
That's because it's out there.
That's it.
It's not like it's not being made.
Yeah.
It's what's being pushed to the consumers. He's guilty of pushing it to the consumers.
I actually believe that at his core, and I don't know this brother, I'm just going off, you know, what we've been presented. I think at his core he is that person. But I don't think he wants to go into that room and say that for the sake of possibly losing his job or being replaced, because at the end of the day, we know it's about the bottom line. Yes. What works and what moves
capitalism.
The needle.
That's true.
To it.
No, it is. It is.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, that could be him at his core, but I don't know if he's really ready to jump out the window and risk it all, quote unquote, to go in there and have the conversation that Terry just talked about.
And you can pay for these spots on these playlists anyway. You know, let's just be honest. It's a new payola and it's not regulated. You know, you can't run up into, you know, you can't run into you know, Hot 97 or whatever station is in your town and say, hey, I've got $50,000 here, I need this to be played every 45 minutes. I mean, there are some ways you can freak the system and make that happen, but you know what, I don't know if there is an apparatus in place or any type of law in place to where Atlantic Records, if they say they want to have these many artists on the playlist, if they just can't give Spotify that money, those are the questions we need to ask. Who's paying for all this?
And I've heard recently, actually in the last week, that a lot of that labels are actually involved in a lot of this Spotify playlist creation. So I don't know if there's any validity to that, but I did actually hear that within the last week.
They're heavily involved in
that? Yes. Because I would not be surprised at all.
Because they have... They have
equity in Spotify.
There you go.
You know, that's ownership. So,
and one of the main joints is, I believe it's Rap Caviar, I believe is one of the top ones. And you look at the list, it's very strategic in terms of who's on that, because I know that's one of the main ones. And sometimes I'll scroll through there. 90% of it I'm probably not going to listen to. But as I scroll through there and I see the records, I'm like, yeah, these are put here by some form of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's no way it's not, because it lines up too perfectly. And though that one, using that one as an example, is the total opposite of what this guy, I believe, would want it to be. But he can't. Like, I think he's really... Man probably just caught between rock and hard place. I honestly believe he just stuck, because there is a way to get around it. It's just somebody got to jump out the window and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on him.
It's on him.
He's in position. He worked for Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, you have to use that privilege or of being in that position and that, you know, to invoke the change that you want. This is a good start, I guess, to maybe make the statement.
To put it out there.
But you have to follow it up with something. Like, what are you doing to actually...
Is there a plan in place?
We're going to see, because he may not be there in 6 months. This might be his Jerry Maguire moment.
Well,
where he says what we need to do as an industry or as a company, and then all of a sudden they're like, clap for him when he walks right. into, and they say, yeah, that's right. And then you look up and they're taking him to lunch to be fired.
Yep. Boxing up his stuff. Exactly. He getting taken to lunch to get fired. Man, that's pretty nice.
That's
fine.
That's what what was his name? Bob Sugar in the movie. They took him to lunch, you know. So yeah. He could go ahead and
Jerry Maguire
out of here.
When he ends the comment with who's going to step up. This type of comment, I think, first of all, I didn't think Trippy Red would be the person that would respond. But even with this type of comment.
What does it even mean?
What you mean?
Step up. Like
That's what I was about to get to. It's like, what does that mean?
It's almost like he's asking these artists to make more responsible music. That's what it's sounding like to me. But you're curating these playlists with these artists.
Right.
Find different artists.
Yeah.
Because you can't. Your argument can't be that it's not out there. Yeah. Can't do that. Like we know that.
Him talking about it's too divided. It's not that it's too divided. I mean, a certain genre of music does not have to move at the same beat or to the beat of the same drum.
Right.
It can all be different, and there can be some stuff that doesn't have substance or ain't as good.
Yep.
But when the mass majority of it isn't good right now, then I mean, you can't say that it's too divided. You just have to do a better job of making your music.
Yeah, and the curators, like it's. I don't think this falls on the musicians necessarily. I think this falls.
It doesn't.
On,
I'm just picking on them again.
No, I know. I'm just taking it a step further. I think this falls on the people that are curating the things that they curate.
Right.
And you know, look, we started the Turn Off Your Radio series when 2012, 13, something like that.
Yeah.
Dropping one tomorrow with 93 songs on it.
Yeah. See.
You know, I mean. Spotify,
like on it,
come holler,
yeah,
send me some money.
I heard that,
you know, like
I heard
it's,
that.
It's like we've been doing it for a very long time, and you know, it's not like. And my point of saying this isn't like that I'm the only one that you know that we were the only ones that have put this together. There are plenty of good people out there that do that. It's just they need to be amplified more. And I don't think this. I don't know. It's always just kind of a weird abstract statement in general to say like, yeah, hip hop needs to step up. Well, who is hip hop? Like who is
you make it sound like hip hop is somebody like, lives in the mountains and you yeah, can go ahead like, and they come down and decree that we need to change.
Yeah, I don't.
And then everything is magically going to change.
No, like it's just, you know, like put pressure on the artists to make better music, you know, and don't playlist stuff that is trash. You know,
stop taking the money from Spotify.
And you know, and also, you know, like, you know, we talk about the club a lot because you're in the club, but hip hop doesn't strictly live in the club either.
That's a good point.
You know,
because that's a good point.
Because like, I played the new Killer Mike in the 3000 song, you know, in the club, you know, early because I wanted to hear it. But, you know, from a certain time to a certain time. And the thing is, most of the music, look, just keep it real. Most of the music that gets played in the club is trash. But I can't act like that's not part of the culture. I can't understand, like, that's not what the pretty girls want to dance to when they are drinking their, you know, $15 drinks in their pretty dresses.
Well, maybe you need to be the change.
Be the guy.
Yeah, that's what Take That Tuesday is about.
There's a time and a place. Go into the club. Next time you go into the club on a Saturday night. And be like, you know what? I'm going to be the change and play Milk This Cow by Capadonna.
Yo. Like, okay, find something else for me to play.
Play Doja Cat's new single where she's actually rapping.
I did see that.
No.
She was rapping.
Bad.
That's something I got into the playlist.
You're looking. My taste good, but I just had to redirect my cooking. I could have been in.
She snapped on it.
She actually went off.
Yeah.
She is so weird, though, man.
Yeah.
She's like gradually getting weirder and weirder.
I like her weird. I can't lie.
I do like her weird. Yeah. Though. I ain't gonna I hold do you. Like her I weird. Like her weird.
I like her weird too. I miss Thick Doja, but yeah, I like her weird.
I like her weird though. I do like her weird.
I miss Cal Doja.
Yeah. I mean, she got hot off a song she was trolling on.
Yeah, like, she
I
was mean, kidding.
But the fact that she actually can rap is refreshing and that she cares about it. That part is very refreshing.
Yeah.
And makes
you perform. I don't know if I've ever seen Doja.
I haven't seen her rock. I don't know what her stage game is like.
Not live, but yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that she cares about being dope, I can respect that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I can respect that. But yeah, Jay Moore, go ahead, man. Milk this cow to pillage.
Look, you don't think,
I need one of those.
Look, you don't think since I'm in a position to do so, that I don't sneak some joints
in? Oh, I know you do. Yeah. I'm just talking about if you want to shake something up.
I haven't had DJ sneak those Rhapsody records in.
There you go.
When you look at the playlist that's on the video screen, you know, you see.
Yeah, sneaking in applesauce.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, sneaking in a little medicine with candy. Shake it up, bro. Play Killer Army or something about 1:30.
Okay, just try that. I mean, first of all, if it was people there my age First of all, people there my age don't even want to see Killer Army like that.
I mean, right, low key.
I mean, a big problem with this in general, it too, is that it's the consumer that wants it as well. Like
that the, plays a part in it.
Yeah, I mean, the artists are putting out bad music, and the general consumer has really bad taste in music, and so it's just a big vicious cycle of wanting to hear. You know,
look, McDonald's is always packed.
True.
It's just what
let
it
me
is.
Let me ask you this, Lone.
A lot of them burgers be good.
Sometimes.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Fish sandwich was fire. I don't know who told you wrong.
Unless y'all got a sponsorship for us, and McDonald's is the place to be.
But what you just said, though, Lone, about, yeah, I lost my train of thought. You just dropped a bar.
I don't know.
About the consumer.
Yeah.
And the responsibility and the cycle, right? So is there actually a form of a remedy for this, or does it just, because you know everything come, they say everything comes back around. Is this just a phase with the consumer and the type of music that's being requested and all that, and then it'll come back around to something else? Is that how you see it?
I'm not going to pretend like I know.
Okay.
I
because there's no fix. I don't think you can't just fix this.
No, like I said, it just feels like a vicious cycle of you know, and this isn't the first time. Like, the only reason I think we're talking about it in the light that we're talking about it is because we're on a trend in the last month or so of talking about how hip-hop is not number one. It's not like the music just randomly started getting bad. It's been bad for a very long time. Yeah. It is getting worse, I think.
No,
in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of it is there's again,
it was better when it wasn't number one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean,
when it had no potential to be number one, yes, yeah, it was much better.
Yeah.
It's a bar,
you
right
know,
there.
When Ebro.
That guy.
That guy.
I'm not trying to mess
with at Hot 97.
Come on, I'll get you 150 comments.
When he was talking about a few weeks ago about, you know, how hip hop needs more gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
You
remember
know,
that?
Yeah. I feel like that this is what leads to that particular type of conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, in my opinion. So yeah, we need more gatekeepers. We need better gatekeepers. And we need people to be like, nah, this isn't good enough. We're not gonna play it.
We have to do better.
You have to do better.
The content would
have
been better. Look, we talked about that song Pound Town. I think about when, you know, my first, you know, one of the first people that really messed with me at radio, Deja Vu. And she actually works at WBLS now. Like, I can't imagine them bringing that to her when she was musical director at 100.3 The Beat and her saying that we're going to play this. I you know, now they just like, oh, we'll just go ahead and play it. It's popular. The kids like it.
Yeah.
I think there would be something to where they said, no, we're not playing this. We can't do this. Not right now. This is going to stay in the strip club. And I just think now everything is moved so much by metrics and so much by numbers. You can't have that, I don't want to say moral argument, whether or artistic argument, and say, you know what, we're not doing this today, because I don't think there's any room for that.
When you hear Charles Barkley talk about people that do analytics, he hates the guys that do analytics when they break down basketball. He's like, these fools that do analytics, they don't know what they're talking about. That goes to the concept of you, what you're talking about, numbers, because that's really what it boils down to. We're looking at graphs, charts, and numbers. I'm not plugged into, I don't want to use the culture because we talked about that, but you're not plugged into what's actually going on. You're looking at graphs and charts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the analytics.
I don't know. To be honest, and maybe I know I'm biased here, but I'm okay with a few good gatekeepers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a few people that understand,
who actually care.
Yeah, that actually legitimately care, even if they're wrong sometimes. I can appreciate that. And, you know, Overwhelming Slice has a pretty good comment. The internet democratized music. The only gatekeepers are the fans. And I think that's true to a degree. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for the state of something. It is in one aspect, but
that's a good
it's true. But at the same time,
there's a lot of power.
There are people higher up who present, you know, quote unquote, the fans with what they want them to see and what they want them to hear.
Yeah, everything is still curated in that aspect. And it goes back to like my overwhelming continual reference to everything is it's capitalism. It's all driving by the dollar. Every conversation that we're having right now goes down to the bottom line and people trying to keep their bottom lines up. That's really what it comes down to. And so, you know, you try to have this culture of, you know, what's great and pushing greatness up towards the top. Well, if that's not selling in that aspect, then that doesn't get as much, you know, pull or push as it should get. And so culture doesn't really have a chance to change in that aspect because you're always fighting against the bottom line of what makes money, the lowest common denominator. So,
and please believe at the end of the day, that is the goal.
Yeah.
To make money. Period. And by any whatever it takes to get to that, get to it. That's what these companies are in the business of doing. So
yeah.
No, that's just, yeah, that's good. Shout out to the chat. Those are some good comments.
Appreciate you.
Can we shout out our partners here, sir?
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, so
there we go.
All right, let's talk narration versus glorification. All right,
interesting.
I'm gonna play this clip, and then we can get down and discuss as always.
You in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. If you still rapping about cocaine or killing people, even if you sold that, even if you shot somebody before, there's a difference between narration and glorification. And I just feel like in the rap game, it's too much glorification of things that's going to get us locked up or get us 6 feet underground.
So this brother's name is D1. He's an artist, public speaker, listed as a Harvard fellow. A really, really intelligent brother. I got a chance to listen to him on this podcast with the Ghetto Boys Reloaded. Narration versus glorification as it relates to lyrics. When you hear that, Jay Moore, I'll come to you first. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Hov did that, so you wouldn't have to go through that.
Oh, we're going to go there. Okay.
Hov did that, so hopefully you won't have to go through that.
See, sometimes a lot of the narration comes from people who didn't even go through things. As much as I love Ice Cube. Ice Cube grew up in a house with his mother and father and went to school every day.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah, and was never arrested. But he told the stories. You know, he was not on the block. He went from, you know, being a kid, went to high school to actually, you know, being in like a program out in Arizona to being a professional rapper. There was no stops in there that made him where he was actually living a gangster lifestyle. He's always been a narrator, you know, but we respect him for it because he does such a good job.
Right.
And he spoke for the people who were going through things, and I don't think Cube ever glorified anything. Okay.
Can we define glorification?
I think if you make it seem like selling dope is the only way out, and but the only reason I have these nice things is because I sell dope and I don't ever give you the part where, okay, you might have sold dope for 3 or 4 years, but you got 35 years for doing it.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, I think there's very little of that. I think
you think there's little glorification.
Take Jeezy out.
I was about to say, because there's a whole preacher that is blaming Jeezy for a whole lot of,
you know,
nonsense. For real?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
called him out.
Yes.
Oh, he said Jeezy. Wow. Oh, wow.
I didn't hear that. I didn't know that. Okay.
Props to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, but I think that there are, you know, even when I talk about, you know, how much I love Ice-T.
Right.
When you watch the videos, like if you watch High Rollers, you think, man, this is the way to go. But then at the end of the movie, or not the end of the movie, but the end of the video, he's laid out.
Right.
You know, for all the fly stuff he had, you know, you see he's basically, you know, it's not like he's an old man. And they finally got him. No, they got him like not that long after what happened, or people wind up in jail. That was the thing that came from the 80s. Even the people who were talking that gangsterism, it was a cautionary tale until we kind of got to N.W.A., the second album.
Because I think N.W.A. was...
Because you think about Dope Man, the Dope Man was not glorified. They were talking about beating the Dope Man up.
True.
So, yeah, I think there are people who have glorified and they, you know, what has the hustling hood, if you will. You know, but I think most of the rappers that we revere and who are actually become legends, when they talk about these things, they're talking about them as cautionary tales, you know, and it's like, look, you can't do this forever, because if I was doing this forever, I wouldn't be rapping. And I wouldn't be rapping about the things that I did or the things I'm doing currently.
But there's probably something to be said about the people that are currently maybe rapping about that stuff and they're still in the process of it, right? And maybe they haven't reached their cautionary tale age.
Well, you know what? I see what you're saying, but I think this is the thing about these young rappers who, once again, I call them my kids. They're living the cautionary tale, because look at all the ones that are in jail. They're under indictment. They're getting killed.
True.
You know, because they can't leave the streets alone. you know, or right. or they're just always wrong. You know, they try to keep it too real, you know, instead of saying, you know what, at this point, I'm in entertainment. I make songs to make people dance and enjoy themselves, and they still want to be gangsters. No, no, you can't do it.
What you think, Terry, about this narration versus glorification? Just the concept of that.
I think it kind of remains true. And to Jay Moore's point, with Ice Cube mm-hmm. being a narrator, so to speak. And although he grew up with the family, well, the family structure,
right?
He still grew up in that environment. I know plenty of people from the hood that grew up next door to the same people that were doing some stuff they probably shouldn't have been doing, but chose a different route,
mm-hmm.
but live within a rock's throw of these individuals. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
you can still witness it and not necessarily be submerged in it, or essentially be victim to the glorification. So you took the I'ma watch it and report it narration route. Tupac can even be considered the same way, because a lot of the stuff he talked about was essentially a narration of what he seen and what he saw and what he grew up around. A lot of it wasn't what he was doing. Whereas on the glorification side of things, there are artists that make it sound real fly and flashy to you know what I'm saying? Scam and get a bag by doing it like this and putting on a ski mask and doing it this way. I mean, there's a lot of that going on, glorification and influence, so to speak, that has pretty much infiltrated the rap game in a lot of cases. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I kind of agree with it to a certain extent.
I think it does. I think the glorification part is it's definitely there. As for the narration, I think some of the OGs that you listed were great at that. I can tell the difference. I think we can see it or kind of understand it, mm-hmm. but sometimes the consumer may not be, it might be blurred. The consumer
the
may
line
not.
Can be blurred. Yeah. Even when he brought up Jay-Z, Jay-Z actually did it.
Right.
But the way that he presented to you was more of an explanation of his lifestyle.
Right.
Now, it looked nice and sounds nice when he puts it on to a beat, you know what I'm saying? But in the same token, he's telling you, like he said, Hov did that, so hopefully you don't have to go through that. It sounds good.
But even when you go to his first album, he's got songs like Regrets.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I Live?
Right.
The Evils.
He's not making this seem like, yeah, this is, I definitely need to start selling dope now. That's not what I took from it.
Right.
I mean, it's the piece, if you remember the studio session in Fade to Black,
mm-hmm.
where there's the rapper, the young kid was in there, and he was talking about, I feel like I have to rap about this stuff.
Because that's what they want to hear.
You see how Jay jumped on him ASAP and was like, and Guru, they were both like, just do you. Like, you don't have to, you know, go that route and just talk about this. He's like, nah, but that's what they want to hear. This is what they, you know, want to do. That made me think about that clip, because there are people that probably perform and write records based off thinking, I mean, this is what worked for XYZ, so I'm coming in the game doing the exact same thing. The glorification, I'm just going to follow suit.
But that's not your life.
Right.
We used the whole term studio gangster.
Right.
If you didn't go through that and you want to rap like Tribe Called Quest, but you're not rapping like that because you feel like it's not going to get you as far, then what are you in this for? That'd be like if say I started rapping, 46 years old, start rapping.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to support you.
Gotcha. No, you're not, because it's probably going to be trash. Now, I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be trash, but it's like, would you buy it if I got on and I start talking about, yeah, man, I was out here flipping birds and I shot these people in jail time, and because you y'all know enough about me, especially when I got on here and talked about my Christmases, that, you know, I know about it on a peripheral level, like, because right. I can't act like everybody, every friend I had or every family member I have is not, I know what substance abuse looks like. I know what it is for people who have to, who have lived selling, you know, whatever they had to sell. But I'm not, that wasn't my life. My life was getting up, going to school, going to church on Sunday with my parents. You know what I'm saying? Being in the AKA's cotillion my senior year, doing a speech and debate competitions and being in student council. If I can't find a way to rap about that, you know, and when I'm talking about my formative years, then I'm not keeping it real.
I'm not mad at that. Yeah.
So if you heard me talking about like the streets of St. Louis and we doing this, that, and third, and you know,
we're gonna laugh at you.
Yeah, man. I was cripping and doing. No,
they're all gonna laugh at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on now. Because eventually the people who really know you are going to talk about you and let people know what time it is for real.
Go ahead, Long. And a lot of the, you know, like the conversations we're having too, you know, like the, I would say typically the people that can discern the difference between narration and glorification, if you can discern the difference, you're not going to be the one that's influenced by it. That exactly. is, you know what I mean? So
right. True.
Right.
It's like, yeah.
You're listening with smart ears.
Because there are a group of people that can't. You know what I'm saying? That might not be able to understand. You know
it
what I'm
goes saying? Back difference. To the comparison yeah. that we use a lot to movies.
Right.
It's just like there's a lot of movies that glorify gangster life and all that type of stuff too. And some of it's just narration showing you what can happen if you go down that line. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's art. And art imitates life. So you just have to take from it what you can.
And now you over here podding, boy. That's a bar right there, man. Like that.
I'm just talking.
But no, man, shout out to that brother for bringing that up. I think that is he didn't come off as a hater. He came off as, you know, just voicing his opinion. I think it's actually a very good comparison.
Yeah.
What we got next, Mike?
Yeah. That was, I'm trying to.
Michael?
Trying to pod over here, man.
Speaking of
Michael, shout out to Killer Mike, man.
Can we talk about that record?
We can talk about it.
We can talk about that record.
We can talk about Killer Mike. I have no problem talking about Killer Mike. When he said this album as it was going to extend his career 15 more years and he was just getting started with a new chapter.
Hey.
I said, man, I don't hear people talk like that. The Killer Mike, all right, might be older than us.
All right. He's older.
So for him to be able.
I think we're the same age.
Y'all might be around the same age. But for him to say, you know, it's another 15 years and I want to be able to have something that lasts and I want to have something that's impactful.
Talk
about how personal this record was to him. We don't hear artists talk like that a lot. Like there's a handful of artists that speak to, you know, creativity and putting effort into it. He talked about how much it cost to mix the record, features, having a choir, No ID executive producing, like bringing all these people out to work on it, flying out to CXYZ, running stuff by Dre. Hearing him talk about everything that he put, some of these records are where Obama was in office. Like the intro, Obama was in office when he wrote it. You know what I'm saying? So they had like over 100.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that on the Breakfast Club. So I say that to say the fact that he actually cared, it shows in the product. When you listen to this album, it shows that he actually cared about what he put out.
Because he didn't put out about 4 or 5 albums since then.
Yeah, Run of Jewels and.
You know. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Sometimes the time doesn't match up for you to put something out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you got to give that man his flowers. It's been a long time since I've actually fully enjoyed a record and listened to it all the way through and been like, I have to run this back again.
Well, it's the first one this year for me. Well, the first hip-hop album for me this year that I've been able to listen to and digest like this.
Yeah.
As far as from front to back. Like, I mean, there's been some good stuff to come out.
Right.
But to me, it's all about a feeling. And this album gave me that feeling that I, you know what I'm saying, that I crave. Mm-hmm. And it's some stuff on there that's personal to me.
Relatable records.
The Motherless track is out of this world.
Yeah.
And I've actually been listening to that for a while since before the album came out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way that album is put together is really good, man. And it's almost like gospel in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Especially the first half of the album where he has, you know, some actual choirs, not like sampled situations. Yeah. Like these people are actually singing on the record.
He said they're going to travel. The choir is going to travel with him on the tour for the shows too. He says it's going to be an experience.
Which I
think is dope.
I heard someone tried to compare this record to 444. And I said, different wavelength,
way different.
One of the things about 444 is I had to be prepared to listen to it. Like, and I have to give props where they're due. I was prepared to listen to it because I'm such a fan of Fonte, who has always kind of kicked at grown, especially on, you know, Charity Starts at Home, you know, and the things he, you know, that's probably one of my favorite hip hop albums ever. Everything Fonte does is just phenomenal to me. I'm a stan.
He don't miss. Yeah, he's one of those that doesn't
you know,
miss.
And so. I've always, you know, when people talk about, oh, this is grown man rap, I'm like, with 444, I was like, I was prepared for this because I've been listening to grown man rap from one of my favorites for a minute.
That's a good point.
And one of the things about the Michael album is even if you're not prepared for it, it's going to touch you some kind of way, which, and like I said, this is recency bias. I remember, I think when I was just guesting on the show, we talked about 444 and I went through how much I loved it. But this Michael album is something that we're going to talk about for at least as long, if not longer than 444. Because like I said, I still have my mother. You know, I can imagine it may not be easy for somebody to listen to the song about, you know, losing his mother. And he said in an interview, like, I didn't say that I lost my mother until I made this song. You know,
and no ID pushed him to do it.
You know, when he talks, you know, when he's talking to get into a little bit of gangsterism, when he's talking about the regrets he has when he was, you know, in college, but still selling dope.
Right.
You know,
the line where he talks about, I don't care who the president is, as long as they for me.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real.
You know,
the record that he did
addressing his direct, his detractors, but doing it in almost a, in a way of love, where he didn't have to, he could have just been like, F y'all, F this, and F all. Look,
the Junkies record, when he talks,
humanizing the Junkies,
yeah, and the people in his tells a story about his aunt.
Yes, that's what y'all needed to eat.
He said on the that interview that there's a guy that he references that always hangs out in front of their barbershop.
Like
you know what I'm saying? Like he's talking about, this is for those people, the people that I see when I'm coming in, because dude looks out for the barbershop for us. Like it was a really good interview. And the fact that he did that record and the, I believe it was a speech by Mr. Farrakhan that comes in at the end with the chord changes and everything. Like this thing is put together like like the sequencing in the album, song structure, you know, like bridges, scenes, all of this stuff. It's literally like a movie, like he said.
The end of that very end where it's, I don't know what language it is. But still, I was compelled to listen. I was like, well, okay, maybe I'm going to figure it out at the end. You know, I've listened to that record over and over just because I'm like, maybe I can get something just from the feeling.
What is that? Is it Doctors and Scientists?
Yeah, Scientists and Engineers.
Scientists and Engineers.
Yep.
Future sound good on that song. Y'all know how I feel about Future.
Yeah. I'm in the same camp. When you say long, don't get carried away.
It was just a good pairing to me. I mean, it was the first time I actually heard what could have been considered the new Dungeon Family with some old Dungeon Family members.
Yeah.
Like Future's Dungeon Family card was on display.
His name was Meathead when he was in the Dungeon Family.
But even with the Andre 3000 verse, which of course I'm always happy anytime I get something from 3000, what Killer Mike does is so phenomenal album. Like, shout out to 3000, but I'm here for Killer Mike. That's how much I like.
I'm still here from Three Stacks, but
now I'm here for Three Stacks.
He did his thing. But,
nah, yeah, Killer Mike went off on that.
Yeah, yeah. What Killer Mike did on that song, you know, it takes me back to when, like, I was just, you know, I'm not going to say I don't still love hip hop, but like just all the things we've talked about in this show, the corporate interest, the playlisting, that, when I just hear somebody rapping and being honest to the point where like, I might've kept that to myself.
But it gives you that feeling that you generally you've been searching for, and you were getting fed that feeling.
And he gave me a little something that I could playlist with the song that was clearly done by 3-6.
Go ahead.
Long, what song that was.
That song is incredible.
That's
the one where he has the president line.
Mm-hmm. The album is really good. It feels like it made me feel like Atlanta music felt when Outkast was at its height.
Oh.
Like it just kind of felt like just the, like you mentioned, it was like kind of gospel-y. Like it has like a gospel type feel to it. And just the way that everything meshes together.
It speaks to your soul.
All you guys are saying about like how he wrote everything, but it also goes into like the production quality to what you were talking about, Mike, in the sense of like he spent time on this. And those of you out there that are listening that can hear that he did are going to appreciate that, because I was able to appreciate that at a very high level. It's a very, very good project. There are some features I could do without. But some of them are really good as well. Like this Aaron Allen Kane, who's singing on the Motherless joint.
Oh, she's on a few songs.
And she killed this whole thing.
Like she was amazing on the Motherless song. And,
I liked Young Thug's contribution.
Yeah.
I didn't need him on that record.
You know, it could have, but you know, I had no problem with what he did.
That's what I mean. Like in general, I can still listen to it. It's not going to take away from my experience. But there are some features that I'm just like, it's a skip-free album, in my personal opinion.
I'm not a features person. I'm not either. I think features can be overly done. I think there can be too many. This project, on the other hand, I'm not mad at the features for like 95% of it. Exactly.
Well, that's why we
even the Fabo feature. I'm used to him acting a fool and, you know, clowning. I'm like, he got Fabo in a completely different pocket.
That's because Fabo is like a gem in Atlanta, straight up.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, that's, you know, because when I talk about my reverence for 444 as a project, it's because it was so personal. And Jay, like, he might have given somebody some time to for the chorus.
Yeah.
All the lyrics, the verses are Jay.
Yeah.
It's a personal album. I don't have no time to get nobody else on here. He might let a little something go here and there. I like personal albums. I like the vulnerability.
Yeah.
I know hip hop is built off bravado and I'm the best and I got the biggest car and I got the baddest woman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I get older, when I hear people talk about just real life things and they can verbalize it in a way that not only makes me relate, but also sounds good.
Yep.
It's usually their best product.
That's just where I'm at.
Yeah. The key part that you're talking about, to Lone's point as well, it's the fact that the music is relatable, but it's also high quality.
It's multiple things happening in synchronicity at the same time to reach this product. This is not easy.
One of the main lessons to Lone's point that should be taken from this for creatives is that the fact that he had to bake this thing to get it to sound like this. Mm-hmm. We're in an era now where people will brag about, we recorded the project. We've talked about this in two weeks and it just put it out.
Yeah.
Right. And 9 times out of 10 is going to sound like y'all recorded it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You can tell. He didn't have to tell me that one of these records was back when Obama was president. I didn't have to tell me that because I know how much effort was put into this project. You can hear it.
Well, no, it's not only that, but, you know, the first time I listened to it, I was just listening through my phone. But then I was like, OK, I want to hear some because this is something we talk about mixing. We talk about how things are actually supposed to sound.
Right.
Now I listen for that.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy when I hear like songs that are out and professionally done and quote unquote like on the radio. And I was like, this sounds awful.
Yeah.
You can hear the difference, can't you?
I can hear the difference. Yep.
There's only one record that I heard on this one where it sounded a little bit out of place, and it might just because it was on YouTube. I don't want to harp on the
No,
imperfection. Yeah.
But there was only one song where in the sequency, like it kind of brought it down a little bit, but then it came back up. You know what I mean? So, but in general, again, it's a great album. Great. I've only listened to it once, so I need
to. But it makes you want to go back and revisit, right?
For sure. I'll go back and listen to it. I don't know which record. I think the Enrich joint was
that one, joint. Cool and Dre. Cool and Dre on the production.
That was one of my favorites.
I think
But Run was good. You know, like the CeeLo joint was good. The Slummer was good. The Scientist. I mean, like,
Exit 9 was dope. Where you talking about where he's from? That was fire.
Yeah, that one was.
Oh,
really
that was
good.
Yeah, that was hot.
Motherless is amazing. Yeah. Junkies record is fire.
The Motherless, you know, like
Exit 9 was really good.
High and Holy at the end with High Ride Out. That's fire. Like, I don't see a record on here where I'm like, nah, that's
there's nothing on here.
Yeah,
where like I said, I've listened to this album. You know, and some people be like, what? Only 3 times? But like, I've listened to it all the way through 3 times. There's a point where like, I'm not going to do that one. I can skip that one. Or I want to playlist it and create my own little Killer Mike play. No, it's a complete piece of art.
It is.
I need the front, middle, and the back. I can't take a piece out just because.
No, it's really good.
I need all of it.
When it was over, I was mad it was over.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, because when I listen to something on Tidal,
goes to the next, you're like, dang.
And I'll be
over?
Like, what? No, I don't want to hear. I mean, shout out to Busta Rhymes. I don't want to hear no Busta Rhymes song right now.
Yeah, I rewinded. I just played the last song over a couple times.
Yeah.
I had this similar feeling, but it just went to another Killer Mike song. And I was like, I want to go back to this.
I didn't even think that I would become. You said something, Jay Moore. I didn't realize that I would become a playlister. I never thought I would be that. Oh, I listened to the album. I'm an album guy. I appreciate the art, the album. But over time, music has come out so much and I've become so overwhelmed with the quantity of music. I've turned into, yeah, I like track 3 and 4. We'll slide this one right over. You know, and it's just, it's in my mind now. I'll be honest, I do that. But on this one, never felt that. Rocked the whole way through.
Yeah, I didn't skip anything.
John Blaze.
Yeah, shout out to Killer Mike for the effort, man. Appreciate the effort.
So based upon like our earlier conversation about who needs to take the reins in hip hop and blah, 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 and all that stuff. Like, I mean, there are people out here doing it.
And I made a mistake. I thought me and Killer Mike were like the same age. He's actually 2 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And I'm the oldest of the new old heads. So he's two years older than me.
That man out there repping for that Dungeon Family
doing
correctly.
Doing his thing.
Yeah, shout out to Killer Mike, man.
We show you that good music has no age, no matter the genre.
But this is the thing with Killer Mike.
I swear.
He put the money into the record, not into the promotion. So, like, I know he's on Breakfast Club because he has those relationships. But, you know, if he was on a major label, they'd be like, okay, now we got to go and you got to do a Killer Mike flyaway.
See, the thing about Killer Mike is special because he's been tearing up the festival scene for years with LP, with Run the Jewels.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and he's also been in these same rooms as these politicians and these lawmakers.
Yep.
So Killer Mike created a name and a lane for himself that he doesn't have to do all that extra mess.
So, that's a good point. I don't know if Bernie Mac.
Recipes of
Bernie Sanders
Mac.
Has a Twitter, but like, you know, I don't know. Maybe Bernie Sanders, you know, said, yo, pick up that new Killer Mike. Go ahead and listen to it.
I mean, think about it. It's Mike has done quite... Having a name, Killer Mike.
Come on.
Yes.
And
going into the political spectrum against conservatives who are not
with his rap name,
which are not good faith at all. Yeah. They're not good faith.
And making them respect you and take you serious.
I mean,
don't lose. Like, he actually, it's not like it's a sideshow. Yeah. Like, when Killer Mike steps out as Killer Mike,
they don't say Michael Rainer.
They don't.
Render.
Remember that? Because I don't know if you guys remember, there was a quick point where he said, okay, maybe I need to move away from the name Killer Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wanted to call himself like Mike Bigga or something.
Mike Bigga, yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, no.
He doesn't have the same ring.
Mm-mm. No, Killer
But
Mike.
All he has to do is say, yeah, because I kill microphones.
Yeah.
And that's what he if, did.
It's fitting for him, though, man. It because, is. Like, a lot of people probably would get the, that never heard of him, would think that his content was a lot different than what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's never wavered from the type of content that he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just has gradually gotten better and more seasoned.
The thing about Mike.
I agree.
On this project is the one thing he did say that, I believe it was, I hope I don't mess it up, but it was somebody from Organized Noise. Might have been Rico Way, might have been Sleepy. They said, you have to keep this Atlanta in the midst of them making the record. So it's not.
It sounds it.
That when you talked about the Outkast stuff, that made me think about him actually saying.
It gives me the same type of feel of when I heard Aquemini.
Yeah.
Like it had, it just, Outkast was a lot different. You know, because that was my first introduction to Outkast.
Yeah.
And then I had to go back, but.
He said that was very important for him not to lose the sound of Atlanta in the process.
Yeah.
And I think
he is Atlanta through and through. So I think, I guess, in a sense, I'm an old head. I'm showing my oldness, right? When I think of Atlanta, I think of Outkast first.
Too. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So him being from that same tree is fitting.
No, I agree. And shots to Spoken Thoughts says, I feel like LP has also made Killer Mike a better MC. I agree with
that.
I agree with that only because I feel like Run the Jewels as an entity just is such a unique.
I would say more.
It's a unique
more versatile.
But LP was so involved with rap music.
Rap music is, to me, is what pretty much start the ascension of Killer Mike.
Because I know people who love Pledge Allegiance to the Grind. Shout out to Brother to the Night.
That's dope.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope, but. When I heard rap music, I was like, oh, okay.
Music is just different.
And we have to also, it's not, and this is not necessarily LP from an MC standpoint. LP is a music producer.
Right.
Right. Right.
Like, so he brought it out of him and through beat.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a music producer. He's not just a beat maker.
Right.
He's not just an MC. Like, he used to run a label with a bunch of MCs. He's worked with a lot of people. Like,
talk about credibility.
LP's got, he doesn't get the flowers he deserves a lot of times, but. I'm very sure that their their dynamic, the way that they work together, probably brought the best out of both of them.
Yeah,
right.
And he said also that No ID coming in being EP.
I think No ID does that for everybody that he works with.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
said he's known No ID for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've always talked about working.
No ID does not miss.
He does not miss. He and he said it wasn't about him saying, okay, I got the sound for you. I'm just going to come in with the sound. He was like, nah, I'm trying to figure out the best way for you to get the best killer mic to come out.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
You know what I'm saying?
ID, he's a good music producer.
Yeah.
Like he's a good beat maker. I like most of his beats, but as a music producer, the same thing I'm talking about with LP, you know, like he is really good at that. And he knows
composing and pretty much
arranging the project.
This goes back to Resurrection when it was him and Why Not.
Absolutely.
Two Piece and a Biscuit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
one day it all makes sense.
You know, I'm one of those people like y'all. Some of y'all are just now finding out. Not anybody in this room are just now finding out about No ID.
That's crazy.
Which is wild to me. But
this is the stuff that
come on.
And I'll be the hater here. This the stuff that No ID does. That loan that you just described and we talked about LP. Mm-hmm. There's a section of America, and I've never believed this. I still don't. But there's a section of America in hip hop. People think that Khaled does this just as well as No ID does.
Let's stop.
Like, there's people that when we talk That's about production, blasphemous. Oh man, but he's the one that puts everything together. No, this is what I'm talking about when we say executive production.
I don't even want to give Khaled any type of shine when we're talking about Mike and LP.
You're right. Like, you know what? You're right.
It's just not even the same.
You're right.
But I agree with you.
But you see what I'm saying.
I mean, but we're both music producers.
Yeah.
We have produced projects, not just beats. So it's like, it's different. Like, we understand that conversation, you know, like, and I personally can appreciate what Mike or what LP has done for that, because Run the Jewels is really great because it's like it's two MCs and a music producer. You know what I mean? DJ. Like, it's that.
What I really hope happens is you guys talked about his from political standpoint, the festival standpoint. I hope this translates into sales for him. Like, I hope he can pull like a number one on something, or
then the conversation's finally over, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna go to Bandcamp and just cop. Like, I'm gonna buy this album.
I don't think that attributes to
that go to him, don't it?
It does, but I don't think
I ain't talking about the number one, but I'm talking about
because, you know, once
again, the streaming and stuff is what counts.
I talk about how I've listened to this album three times all the way through as nowhere close to being counting as
That's
a sale.
Actually, a because lot considering. Today's time when it came out Friday.
Yep.
You've listened to it three times all the way through.
That's a lot.
I mean, you've grown, you're busy, you have to do a lot of stuff to do, navigate through life.
Yeah.
Listen to it three times through to me, that's actually good.
Yeah,
that
means great,
that it's
but
a good album.
If you that
part.
Everything has to add up to 1,500 streams to make one sale.
Yeah, when we're talking
Mike,
about
Mike, we trying to run it up, bro.
So, that's where it's not fair.
Yeah.
Because I really appreciate it, though.
Like, this album has had, like, this is where it's really not set fair. This album has had my attention since Friday. And, you know, usually when we buy albums, okay, that $15 has my attention since Friday. Well, it was Tuesday then, but, you know, back when we talking about.
Yeah.
That's where it's messed up, because it's like, this is the only album I've really listened to in my spare time. And I've listened to it three times, and it doesn't, like, I'd have to listen to it 100 times more for it to come up to one sale.
Here's what I would say, though. I don't think Mike is probably overly worried about it. I think it would be great. I think he'd enjoy it and appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mike's going to be hurting, even if this album doesn't.
No.
And I think,
of course not.
And it's not about that.
Exactly. It adds to his legacy.
Yeah.
And I guess the start of his legacy in some manner is based upon what you guys were saying. But, like, yeah, this is just, like, more of, like, there's certain people where I just like them as people.
Yeah.
Tyler is one of those people.
Agree.
Killer Mike is Mike Render is one of those people that I just like them as individuals, as humans. And I like to see people like that win.
I think this album, I always continue to listen to it because lasting power for me is important. How long is this an album that I'm going to continue? I still listen to No Dope on Sundays. To me, that's an incredible album. I still listen to that. I put this in that line where I feel like this is going to be an album that's not going to, you know, fall by the wayside. I feel like I'm going to listen to this album for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, this, it's that good.
It's going to be classic material.
I got it trending in that direction. I'm not a 24-hour classic person. I've never been that person.
This is the first album I've listened to all the way through since the Mr. Morale.
I mean, it's the same for me.
But the thing is, I'll just be honest.
In one sitting.
I enjoy this more than Mr. Morale.
Like, 100%.
Look, we've talked about it. Mr. Morale was, that wasn't an easy record to listen to. Mm-hmm. This has some parts on it, depending on where you are in your life. It's not easy to listen to.
It's very true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've been in a position where you've lost people or you've done certain things in your life, it's a little harder to listen to.
Again, it goes back to the vulnerability aspect of being an actual human being, an artist on a project, as opposed to just making music to make music.
Yeah. Yeah. So but this
Trippie Redd might need to listen to this.
Go ahead and cop this, man, and sit down somewhere and
he's
listen
still
to.
Ain't gonna make anything like this.
But
Lil Yachty tried.
He tried, hey, man.
Lil Yachty last album really ain't that bad to me. Honestly.
It's not bad. It's just not. What people were saying it was.
I thought making it sound like to me. Fam just a whole new person, and I started listening to it. I was like,
"Nah, okay. It was like, you know, that one underperforming kid in class finally did well." That's what it was.
He got a good grade on his test.
It's like, "Oh man, good for you."
He did good at kickball on the play.
He got most of the
Johnny. You got an 85. Congratulations.
He almost made it on that time test.
Yeah, almost.
You know, but this is about Mike. But still, it's
so.
Anyways,
you know, just
I think we covered it.
Killer Mike.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We needed this. Hip hop needed this. And
the bar
like I said,
has been
I'm
raised.
I'm like I said, I'm glad I got something as far as a hip hop album.
Yeah.
I get to sit with for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, man.
You know,
appreciate it.
I didn't have to listen. It's like, okay, let me just kind of suffer through it so I can find the singles.
Nah.
Because that's what I got to do a lot of times. To try to make my playlist to kind of figure out, okay, what's going to work here? I didn't care because this was a piece of art. And this is something that we're going to talk about for years to come, as opposed to everything else that we just throw away.
Yep.
All right, man.
Salute to Killer Mike, man.
Shout out to Killer Mike. We appreciate it. I think that will do it. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate y'all for sticking around
real quick,
as well.
Rest in peace to Big Pookie.
Big Pookie.
That was
H-Town.
That was sad because, you know, because of course everything is videotaped now.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a video where like
he's I didn't even see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest.
I don't even want to watch it. No, yeah, I saw.
Because like he's saying something, and like literally, his last moments were on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
before he left us, so
screwed up.
Shout out to Big Pokey,
legend down there.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm talking about legend.
H-Town, and you know what he really is.
Yep.
Representer.
And this is a crazy thing. Because y'all know how I feel about the New Edition, and Bobby Brown and all them.
Yeah,
this is the 35 year anniversary of Any Heartbreak and Don't Be Cruel being put out on the same day by MCA Records.
Nice.
So
talk about longevity.
Yeah. And so that was a
big still hits.
But you know what's crazy is like I think Heartbreak is a better album, but you cannot diminish the run that was Don't Be Cruel.
Nah, you can't.
Because it came out in 88. It wound up being the biggest selling album.
Yeah, I was about to say
1989.
It was a bigger commercial success than Any Heartbreak.
And then, like, I saw something today to where this is how big Bobby Brown was. He did a sold out concert in 1991 in Japan, doing his records from an album that came out in 1998. That's how big. For those of you who don't know, that's how big
from
Bobby Brown was.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So. You know,
he was really high.
Yeah. And like I'm one of those people. I'm like, man, there were songs.
Well, hell, that's just a testament of that time, though. Because
got that one there.
This will be on the continuation part of the. This is when it'll cut off.
Don't worry about it.
But
depends what I choose.
Michael Jackson's Thriller came out in 84 or 83.
82.
Was it 82?
Was it 82? I want to say 82.
That's crazy. That even goes more further into it. He didn't drop another album until 88.
Didn't need to.
87. He didn't need to because
them Thriller was moving for that long.
Thriller ran like this was wild. There's only 9 songs on Thriller. 7 were singles.
Yeah.
The 2 that weren't were Baby Be Mine and Lady in My Life.
Which are both
those
fire.
Are both bangers.
Yeah, not straight bangers.
That's just the testament of that time.
And
man.
They could drop
something back then and it would ride.
This is how incredible Don't Be Cruel was, though. My Prerogative, Roni, Rock With You, Every Little Step. And did I say Don't Be Cruel? The 5 singles were on the A side of the tape.
Yeah.
My Parade.
He's a legend off of one side of an album.
One side.
Because I'll Be Good to You, which is a banger. That's, you know, that's on the second album. It wasn't a single. There's no video.
How you not miss on the first side of the tape? I'm talking about don't miss at all.
Don't miss. Every song is like, okay, next single. Next single. It makes no sense. He caught
lightning in
the
bottle on that one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Shout out to B. Holcomb. He was like, yeah, we know I'll Be Good to You because he performed it with Brenda and them on 227.
Wow. Absolutely. In the living room.
No, they was at the school.
Was that at the school?
Brenda was in there cheating on her exam.
How come on all these TV shows back in the day, these known artists used to always pop up in their living room and perform?
Lester paid for it.
On all these shows.
Lester did not pay for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, now he ain't a good father.
Here we go again.
Look, this is how you know 227 was really that joint. The Temptations showed up.
Yeah.
Pee Wee Herman showed up.
True.
Like, they was all kicking it at 227.
What's 227? Is that like an
Family
album?
Matters, too. They were showing up in the living room.
What? What did you just ask? What?
Coming to the new old heads. Soon, our second show. It's all about Jodeci and 80s R&B and Bobby Brown and all that stuff. It's good. Is
Family Matters.
What did you ask about 227? Is it a group?
Yeah, I'm just joking. I'm just saying. Yeah. We could have a whole new old head show. Yeah.
We definitely could.
You'd have to sub me out. Somebody else, but
I mean, you know, there's some conversations that can be had.
I'm just the moderator
for that portion of the show.
Somebody text Lotus.
It's canceled. 702.
This is my bro. Man.
No, because this is the part of the this is the shut your white ass up part. Yeah, yeah.
somebody about to be offended after that for sure.
No, that's just what we do.
All right, man, we appreciate.
You know, long wear the shiki in the hat.
I'm 100%. He for the culture.
He was messing around.
Whatever that means.
Out here with his koofy.
Yeah.
He was doing it big for Juneteenth.
NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year, this month, this whatever. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up for it. Shout out to our Patreon as well. We really appreciate the support as always. And look for Jay Moore playing Rainy Days in the Club. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace. Hey.